So hi, I'm Pete, obviously. I'm over at Bradford University, and I just come. I thought last year, some of you might remember, I stood up on New Year's Day and told you all that I'd been asked to be president of my Christian Union at Bradford. So I thought this would sort of be a great opportunity now that I'm sort of coming to the end of it, just to really tell you and encourage you in the ways that God's worked in the CU and in my life as well. As I was writing this, I got really, really encouraged because it was sort of like, I played a bit of a game of like spot God. And it was a bit like Where's Wally, but God was a lot easier to find. And we've got our missions week next week, which is sort of a week that the Christian Union does, which is just absolutely dedicated to outreach on campus. And I've just been really encouraged to see the way that God's sort of reflects on the way that God's worked over the past year. And sort of now I'm really excited about what God's going to do next week. So I hope that sort of what I'm going to say is going to encourage you and perhaps even challenge you as well. I'll move that there. So I thought it'd be good to give you a bit of background, not from my whole life, just to sort of my university life. So I first went to university in September 2009, maybe. What happened was there was about 7 people on the floor in my halls, and 5 of them were Chinese, and one lad was from Portsmouth, and it just so happened that he was a Christian. So again, like sort of spot God in there. But in the first semester, we weren't really proactive. We didn't really find the CU, or we didn't really find a church. It was sort of, we spent it our whole time sort of socializing and not doing much work. Not that much has changed now in my third year, but so the second semester came, and we met a couple more Christians, which is again sort of spot God there, and they took us to the church, which is called the Light Church, which is the church I go to now, and they also took us along to the Christian Union there at the university, and so we went along to this first meeting not really knowing what to expect, but what I didn't expect was just 8 people there. It was a bit of a depressing time at the university for the Christians on the campus because there was just 8 people sort of, they were there and they were representing, but there was like only 8 of us, and it was like surely there must be more people that believe in God on this campus. But Ian and I, we decided to continue going, and we got involved in leading worship there at the CU. And that was sort of the first year. Sorry, one sec. So yeah, then the second year came, and what happened was we saw a growth to around 30 to 35 people, which was just great to sort of see God being able to work there and grow the CU in numbers, because it meant that we were able to be more of a force on campus, even though there's sort of 13,000 students, just 35 Christians just being able to sort of do outreach and get involved in missions there. So that was really good. Sorry, one sec. Something that great happened. I saw one of my good friends become a Christian that year. It was really good to see sort of God working in not just people's lives on campus, but like my actual friends. So that was great. Christmas time came, and this is when I got asked to be president of the CU. And some of you that I spoke to about it would have known that it came as quite a shock to me. Then because, as you know, as Tim said, I used to lead worship here. When I was leading worship at CU, and I wasn't expecting a worship leader role there, but I just wasn't expecting this sort of leadership role. And I think for me now, I know that it's a case of, in John 15, do you know where they're talking about the vines, and that even vines that are sometimes fruitful, God sort of prunes you and makes you more fruitful in some areas. So I think that sort of for me, that's now just about being open to that. Like some things I have had to cut back, like I don't lead worship as much at CU anymore, but I'm able to sort of bless them in sort of this leadership role now. So being open to that is so sort of important for me now. Where am I? There you go. So yeah, it was around sort of this time last year that I officially took up my role as president. And then sort of it was a nice ease because obviously the semester's sort of quieting down and people have got exams and things like that. So nothing much really went on. So it was just a nice sort of easy start to the role. And then, obviously, the summer went, and then it got really exciting because September came, this new year. We we knew that as an exec, we knew that not many people were leaving. So really there was only room for growth. So we knew that there was going to be growth. So we were excited about that. But we just had no idea what to expect. So we were just like, we got together and we planned all these events and we planned all like the main meetings in the CU. And we were just like, right, God, do what you do. You know, this is your year. We're your exec. We're here to sort of serve you. So do what you're going to do. I'm not going to bore you. We've done quite a few events, but I'm not going to bore you with sort of all of them. But I just thought I'd pick sort of four highlights for me throughout the year. The first two happened in our Freshers Week. And Freshers Week is sort of the higher education newcomers, if you will, come like a week earlier. And then just it's a chance for them to sort of get to know each other before all the other students come and get to know like around campus. And the first event that happened was Freshers Fair, which is where all the students, like all the societies and all the sports societies come, and they get together and they have stalls and they sort of advertise the society. And so you get like, we had our laptops open, we had a mailing list like that people could sign up to, and 100 people came and signed up. So 100 more people now I get to email each week, which is just fantastic. So they signed up to sort of the emails that I get, so that's brilliant. And then another event that happened was a film night. And for me, it's important, and as an exec, it was important for us to sort of build relationships with other societies on campus so that it could sort of do collaborative events. And so we did this with a student cinema on campus, and they were a great witness to them because they had films on all week, and about 25-30 people came. But then we had this film night. We watched Hannah, I think it is, which is about a girl assassin. So it wasn't really sort of a Christian film, but it was good to sort of, it was provocative in conversations in a way. But about 80, 90 people came to this film. So like to see, so the student cinema now, like they're dying to do events with us because they know that sort of we get numbers. But it's not, obviously it's not all about numbers. It's about sort of what God does, but that was just sort of encouraging for me. And another thing, another sort of event, we had a food and gospel night, which is sort of, as it says, there's food and there's some gospel. So, so we had someone come and talk about, it was about the lost son. So we had someone come and talk about that. And it was great. It was sort of an event where we brought all our housemates along. And so there was about 90 people to come into that. And it was great. Sort of, this is sort of where we got started. Getting recognised by the Students' Union, because we had someone a representative come from the Students' Union and say, look, we love what you guys are doing. We love sort of how responsive people are to come to your events. So if you ever, we've got this big pot of money in the Students' Union, if you ever need it, come and we'll sort of help you financially. So again, it's like spot God. Do you know what I mean? Like we're getting like recognition from all the societies, and even the Students' Union now is sort of knowing who we are and knowing who we sort of serve. But the next thing that happened was we had a lunch bar, which is basically sort of a lunchtime event. We do like sort of snacky food and a talk, and it's sort of more intimate because it's not sort of all about numbers. It's about the great conversations that we can have with people. And I think that sometimes when we have a smaller group of people, it's great because it sort of provokes more discussion and people are more open to sort of ask questions. So we had this event called Jesus, Prophet, Myth, or Son of God. And as some of you know, in Bradford, it's sort of really heavily like Muslim populated. So even on campus, like sort of that's like the majority of population on campus is sort of Muslim. So we wanted to do some events that would sort of invite them along and bring them along. And that was great because we had the majority of the Islam society, their exec came. So there wasn't as many, there was probably about 20 people there, but it was just great because we were there after the speaker had spoken. We were there for about 2.5 hours after just really having this conversation, really just sort of showing them the Bible because the problem that they have the most with Jesus is that obviously they think that he's a prophet. But like for me, it's like, have you heard what Jesus has said? Have you heard his sort of what claims he's making? If he was just a prophet, he was obviously a crazy man as well. But so showing them that sort of Jesus was God was really sort of great for them. And as well, for me, it showed how little I knew about the Muslim faith and how much they sort of knew. So sort of, it was enlightening for me to learn more about their faith as well. And again. So yeah, CUMA meetings have been great. There's been about between 60 and 70 people coming to sort of our main weekly meetings, which is from my first year, from 8 people to sort of 60, 70 people now. I did a bit of maths and it's about 550% increased in size. So that for me is just phenomenal, just to see sort of God really, really working there and allowing us just to become a greater force. And we've worked out again for the new exec, not many people are leaving. So still there's only room for growth. So I'm so excited for sort of next September and what God's going to do there and what sort of work God's going to continue doing there. So obviously you can see that God's really been working in the CU in that way. But he's also, I think, he's been doing a work in my life as well. I'm just going to pick my book up. Not my book. I own it, but I didn't write it. So, so for me, I started to see that something was going wrong when I was sat in one of our lunch bars. It wasn't the one about that was tailored to Muslims, but it was just a different one. And I didn't really have a smile on my face. I wasn't sort of really passionate about it. But I was still doing it. I was still going ahead. I was still sort of leading CU meetings, going to prayer meetings, praying and things like this. But there was something sort of lacking there. And then I came across this book, which was great. And I'm just going to sort of read a little bit of a snippet that sort of really hit home for me when I read it. And it says, this guy's talking about sort of a plate spinner. And it says, though it doesn't involve rods and plates, the life of a legalist can become just as frenetic. I should have read this before I came and read it, but anyway, just as frenetic as a plate spinner's performance. Meet Stuart. He's a brand new believer who has a lot to learn about the Christian life, but he has a genuine love for Jesus Christ. One Sunday morning during the church service, his friend Mike notices that Stuart has a little trouble finding the book of Romans. After the meeting, he asks Stuart if he's regularly reading his Bible. Sure, Stuart replies. There's so much there, I just look at different things. And then Mike raises his eyebrows. You're reading at random? That's really not the best way. You need to read the word seriously. Listen, I have the schedule that tells you how to read the Bible in a year. A little every day. I'll make you a copy. Wow, Stuart replies. You mean by this time next year I could have read the entire Bible? That'd be great. And so just a few days later, Stuart places a single, flexible rod onto the stage of his Christian life. He lifts up a plate called Bible reading and spins it hard and it stays in place. Now let's fast forward about 6 months. Stuart is now much, much busier than ever before in his life. After Mike told him about the importance of Bible reading, Jimmy encouraged him to meditate on scripture. A few days later, Andrew extolled the glories of attending a weekly accountability meeting with the guys from church. In a sermon, his pastor emphasized the importance of church prayer meetings. Then Stuart attended a conference on evangelism. He needed to be witnessing every day. Then he heard a radio program about fasting and another about personal holiness. One by one, Stuart added more and more spiritual activities to his life. Each was good, some were vital. Yet without realizing it, Stuart allowed a dangerous shift to take place in his mind and heart. What God had intended to be a means of experiencing grace, Stuart had changed into a means of earning grace. Instead of a further expression of his confidence in God's saving work in his life, his spiritual activities had become spinning plates, something to maintain. The shift is plainly seen on Sunday mornings. On one Sunday, Stuart sings and praises God with evident sincerity and zeal. Why? Because he's just had a really good week, like not a single plate has wobbled. But another Sunday morning, following a week in which several plates fell, Stuart is hesitant to approach God. He finds it difficult to worship freely, because he feels that God disapproves of him. His confidence is no longer in the gospel, it's in his own performance, which hasn't been so great lately. And that for me was like, it really hit home, because I realized that I wasn't doing these things because of out of the joy of the gospel. I was doing these because that's sort of, I thought, what a good president should be. He should be going to all these things. He should be getting involved in all these things. And it was like burning me out, sort of. So I was forced to ask myself, sort of what Paul's asked the Galatians is, what had happened to my joy? And for me, sort of, obviously, two things stood out from that is that I realised that how subtly and how easily we can sort of let these undertones of legalism sort of creep into our lives. But the thing that stood out the most was the importance of joy and having joy in our life and joy in being a good witness. Like, so Paul in his letters, he mentions joy and rejoice 44 times. So it's obviously Paul thinks it's pretty important. And for me, it was a bit like this. Has anyone seen the show Pimp My Ride? Yes, all right. I'll sort of explain the premise of the show and go somewhere with it, I promise. But what happens is you get these people and they have this old beat-up car. It's not running properly. The windows are missing. The carpet's torn. Some of them have got the holes in the bottom of the car and things like that. It's not in a good state. And Exhibit comes along, which is sort of this rapper. He comes along and he sort of saves the day. He takes this car and takes it to the shop for a couple of weeks or whatever, and then they sort of pimp it up. So it's got like PlayStations in the steering wheel and gear sticks in the shape of water fountains or something like that. I don't know. So they just do loads of great things to this car. And what happens then is these people come up, this person comes along and sort of this car's covered up in a dust sheet. And what we as the viewers see, like when this car's revealed, we don't see the car first. We see these people's faces. We see the expression on these people's faces. And we know that the joy they express on that, we know that this car's good. We know that we want to see this car because we can see the expression of these people on this person's face. And for me, that's sort of what it's like to be saved. Like Jesus comes in, he takes our old beat-up heart, and he changes it, and it's such a joyful experience. And other people, like the non-Christians around us, they don't get a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God until, like, if we show it them. So the joy that we express on our face is sort of their first glimpse of God's changing and how God can sort of work in our lives. And notice as well, it's nothing that sort of we do. Like, the person doesn't do anything. All he does is sort of gives God the keys, and then he sort of does all the sort of initial work in changing our heart. So it's only Jesus Christ that sort of saves us and sort of changes our heart. And so, like, for me now, it's about me sort of living in the salvation, and something that helps me is sort of preaching the gospel to myself constantly. I don't sort of read the gospels all the time, but obviously in the early church, like the time when Paul was writing his letters, they didn't have the gospel then. They didn't have sort of the New Testament. So I think that Paul sort of gives great snippets, great sort of a lot of summaries about the gospel. And I'm just going to read sort of one of my favourite ones to you. It's from Ephesians 2. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." That's sort of what we sang this morning, wasn't it? "And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So yeah, for me, it's sort of like that now. I was just sort of reminding myself constantly about who God saves, about it being God that saved me. And when I sort of do it like that, it's hard not to be joyful. It's hard not to want to worship God. It's hard not to sort of want to share the gospel with my friends, want people to share in this joy with me. So yeah. Sort of to finish, like, I just really want to thank people in this church that have been praying for me over the year. It's been a great help. Obviously, we've seen sort of God work in the CU and in my life. That's been such an encouragement to know that there's sort of people back home that you haven't forgotten about me. So yeah, and please, please, please pray for next week, because we can put on these events, but these events are useless if God's not there. You know, because it's sort of God that does the work. It's God that changes people's hearts, and I really believe that He's going to be there next week. But it's important to pray. Thank you.